You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Welcome, dear kinsmen and kinswomen. Welcome, everyone listening, wherever you're listening, however you're listening. I hope you're enjoying the shows this year. I want to thank those that helped me in the recent time here, and I want to thank those people that helped me with the Bertrand Comparé and everything else. It was wonderful to know that people care about what is going on, because I had asked previously, you know, to have people send me out to do these tapes, and now the Father has brought me a lot closer to the area, because, you know, it was going to be an expensive thing. So this is much less costly because, you know, I'm about an hour and 40 minutes away. And so I'm able to pick up some and do some of these tapes. So I want to thank you because I really do believe that these metal reel-to-reels are going to work. I just opened up the box this morning. It arrived yesterday. And I put one of the reels on. It looks like it's nice and solid. It looks like this is going to really help. Let's pray that this will be so, because I've lost a lot of hours so far on this because of the plastic reel-to-reel tapes. So let's just hope that everything works out fine. And I'm really excited about it because it's something that is on my heart to do. You know, I give as well. You may not realize that I give freely, and I have giving a spirit of giving in my heart to give to all of you and to give to the kingdom and to glorify the Father. And I would admonish you to do the same things, to glorify the kingdom, glorify the Father, give to the kingdom, care about the kingdom. And some of you have shown that you do. And I appreciate it so much. From the bottom of my heart, I really thank you very, very much. Thank you for caring. You know, I want to just explain to you that by showing me that you care about the kingdom, it encourages me to do more for the kingdom. When there's silence and I don't see anyone that cares or anyone that helps or anyone that does anything, I said to myself, well, Father, is our race worth saving? I mean, I have actually come up with that question. And of course, he's already answered that question because he came and died for us. But what I really meant was, the people of today, is this generation worth saving? Do they care about the things of the kingdom? Now, listen, don't be upset. I know some of you do. You've already shown me. But I'm just saying that in general, there's not that many people that care. There's not that many people. Some people don't have the wherewithal to give anything. They're just living by threads, like I do. I've lived that way. You know, I had my own business, like I said. But now I have a place to live that's the Father's home in the Father's land. But you know what I'm saying? So in other words, yeah, I have a place to live, but there's needs, just like you have needs, and so on and so forth. But I'm not asking you for anything right now. I'm just saying that, you know, I wanted to thank you because it gives me hope in our race when I know that you care. It gives me hope that what I'm doing is worth something. You know, that I know the Father loves attention, you know, in the sense of he wants his children to love him and adore him. He wants his children to ask him. He wants his children to look to him for advice and so on and so forth. And that's what I mean by that, you know. And so I don't forget the Father in the good times, and I hope you won't either. I hope that if there are any good times in this world today, you know what I mean, though. A lot of people come to the Father when things get rough, and they forget him when times are good. And this is something you want to stop immediately. You want to remember the Father in the good and the bad times. So thank you for caring, and thank you for giving me. See, it propels me when I know that you care for me, and you share in the work, and you buy the reel-to-reels or whatever it might be. It motivates me to know that, hey, we're doing this as a team. The brethren have participated in the things that I'm trying to do for the kingdom, and this is a wonderful thing. It's wonderful for me because when I give with a cheerful heart. I don't say to myself, well, these people can read all these books and these people can figure it all out for themselves, so why should I give them anything? You know what I mean? I don't think like that. I give freely. I give because I love to, and I love doing these shows. I try to think of you and say, hey, they're going to wake up this morning and I'd like to have something there for them to enjoy, to give them hope, to propel them. So thank you so much. That's all I want to say. Thank you for another year of these shows. And by the way, I decided that I'm going to try to do my other radio show, more of those, the Word of the Most High. And those will be exclusively biblical shows. So just picture what I'm saying. If nobody's helping me, if nobody's, showing that they care in any form or fashion, I start pulling back a little bit and I say, well, why go the extra mile? They don't care. But when you show me you care like that and you bought the reel-to-reels, et cetera, blah, 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 it just propels me forward. It gives me some wind in my sails, let's just say. And so thank you very much for that. Because I'm coming to a point where there's going to be more output. I've got a lot of good plans here, and I want to output a lot more than I have been. And I want to mention this to all of you, is this Apostle Paul project that I have done all the cleaning of the audio. I was supposed to put it up already, but I'm doing so many things at once that the cleaning of the audio files are done. I just have to do a little more work and then put it on my website. But I'm a little cautious because the fellow that showed me this, one of our brothers, he said that when he showed this material to other people, he lost a lot of friends because of it. And I'm saying to myself, I look at this thing very objectively. I'll tell you why. The reason why the fellow sent it to me in the first place is because I said that I thought the circumstances with Paul being converted were kind of strange. They're not in the Father's usual way of doing things. And I know that the Apostle Paul suffered, or it says that the Apostle Paul suffered many things. But there's many questions, and understand this. Just let me give you a little taste of what has been said. I've only listened to four of the files, and really the fourth one, I didn't really catch the whole thing, so to speak. There's 12 files in this. And the fellow's name is William H. Findlay, and he's from South Africa, and I believe he's passed by now. He's from the time of Bertrand Comparé and Dr. Wesley Swift, and he is two seed line, so on and so forth, as far as I know. I don't know much about this man. I know that he's put out many things. I know that the recording sounded horrible, and I've made them sound very nice, if I do say so myself. I am well skilled in these things. I am the man for the job. I am the man that will do the job for free, and I have. The thing I'm concerned. Okay, so let me tell you what the thing is. When the Apostle Paul was knocked off of his horse on the road to Damascus, his first testimony is different than his second testimony, and his second testimony is different than his third testimony on it. And that cautions me. You see, because if you were on the road to Damascus and you were knocked off your horse and you believed you saw Yahweh, the light of Yahweh or whatever, and you were spoken to, do you think you'd forget the details about that? Do you think you'd confuse the details about that? I don't think so. As a matter of fact, I know so. So I'm not trying to put the Apostle Paul on trial or anything like that. I'm not against the Apostle Paul. I also, did you know that he is a self? He dictated that he was an apostle. He wasn't an appointed apostle. Did you know that? These things will make you question really what the story is. When you're looking for the truth, you realize that there are going to be truths that just aren't going to be comfortable, correct? You know, it's just the way it is. So when I come upon this information, you know, if somebody said, well, Jesus is not really, you know, as something and he was in India, I'm not interested in anything like that. That's ridiculous nonsense. But when I am sparked to wonder about the Apostle Paul because of how he was saved, and then I come to find out that he gave three different testimonies. In other words, for instance, here's the difference between the first two, I believe it is. The first one, he said that there were people with him, but I think they didn't see the light, but they heard the voices, or vice versa. Then the next time he did the exact opposite. The people that were with him saw the light, but they didn't hear the voices. I think that that's the first one, and it's the other way around. So all I'm saying to you is that in itself is strange. It's also strange that the Apostle Paul's father was a Pharisee. It's also interesting to me that I've always defended Paul on being an Israelite, not a Jew, because he was a citizen of Rome, as you know. But somebody brought up the question, well, couldn't somebody buy citizenship in Rome? Well, that is possible. It is quite possible. And from what I have found out so far, it talks about Paul being in Tarsus, and this fellow did some very good historical research and so on and so forth. And so when I present this to you, I don't want you to say, oh, he's against the Apostle Paul. He's an enemy. I'm not against the Apostle Paul. I'm wondering about the Apostle Paul. See, I didn't know that Luke was an assistant of the Apostle Paul and that the Apostle Paul needed much medical attention from Luke. I didn't know these things. And I didn't know that Luke wrote the Acts of the Apostles posthumous Paul, you know, post after his death. There's a lot to know about the situation. Also, you know, you must have heard that people don't believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. So there's a lot of fish to fry, but you know, this fellow, I want to know about this fellow Findlay too, you see. And so by studying his works a little bit and by listening to what he has to say about this, we can find out a little bit about him and about his teachings. But you see, I'm not out to prove Paul to be, you know, I told you this, and I mean this sincerely, that if Paul's works in the newer part of the Testament were not there, it wouldn't make any difference to me. It wouldn't make any difference to the way I believe. It wouldn't make any difference in any way in reality to me. The four Gospels and the book of Revelation are enough for me. That's all I really needed in the newer part of the Testament. and everything else is derived from the older part of the Testament. So whether the Apostle Paul was there or whether he wasn't there in the newer part of the Testament wouldn't have made one iota of a difference to me personally. To you, maybe. But the Apostle Paul has also, his teachings have also caused confusion, and you can see that the Jews have used the Apostle Paul's teachings to confuse and to Judaize Christianity. So, I don't want you to be mad at me. If you don't like this idea, then don't read it and don't listen to the things. I'm going to put it there so you can see what I've done by cleaning the files. You're going to be able to listen to the files and hear them nicely. And you'll be able to say, well, I believe this or I don't believe this, or this makes sense or it doesn't make sense. If there's one thing I've taught you a lot of things, and I've learned a lot of things while teaching you things. And one thing you have to do is learn to be objective. You need to take a step back from the situation and take a look at it. Am I trying to destroy the Bible? No, absolutely not. Am I trying to find out why the Apostle Paul, why are there 24 elders and no mention of the Apostle Paul? And you will hear all these different things. I haven't even heard the whole series yet. And it has brought a few points that I think are very valid. And I'm sure I need to listen to these more than once. And so the way to look at this is you can take it or leave it. You can say, well, it doesn't matter. You know, see, I'm not trying to sway you in one fashion or the other. I'm not trying to tell you that I believe the Apostle Paul is not of the Bible and blah, he really was a Jew and all these things. That could be true too. I don't know. But I'm not trying to shove that down your throat. All I'm trying to do is put something that another thing that I have accomplished up for your perusal. In other words, you can look at it and you can take it and throw it in the garbage if you want. You can say, I don't believe a word of it. And that's fine. And if you say, I do believe it, that's fine. But I'm not trying to force your hand in one way or the other. I haven't made my decision yet. You see, my favorite scripture in the Proverbs is Proverbs 18:13, which says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is shame and folly unto him. So you could immediately say, well, here's another Paul basher here. So I'm just going to say, I'm not going to listen to it, but I'm going to answer you and say, you're now my enemy because you said something against Paul. See, he that heareth the matter, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is shame and folly unto him. Now, if you listen to it and you realize that I'm not trying to sway you in one way or the other, I'm just presenting something not only to myself, but to the brethren for an objective look, then just treat it that way. If you don't believe it, fine. If you do believe it, fine. I don't know what I believe yet because I haven't heard the whole thing. So I can't answer the matter before I heareth it. Okay, so that's just something to think about. So I'm a little concerned about posting it because the fellow told me so many people went ballistic over it. Because they didn't even hear it, they just went ballistic over it. I'm sure some of them heard it. I don't really know. You know, the programming of people is amazing to me. I think many people overthink many things that are just simple. So that's something I'm concerned about, but I will write warning on it. I will explain that this, I'm not pro Paul or against Paul. I'm neutral at this point. I mean, I'm actually for Paul at this point until I find any different. I guess I could say I'm pro Paul, but I do think that Paul's teachings confuse people and have brought a lot of confusion and helped the Jews to Judaize Christianity. Take that for what it's worth. I'm not bashing Paul. I'm just saying what I believe to be true. Did you know that Paul said that he would have it that you would be followers of him? This was in, I believe, Corinthians. I will put that, if I remember, I think I shall remember. I'll put that scripture up there. Someone had said something about Paul bashing just because I mentioned this. And they put up a Corinthians, this is on BitChute. And when I went to the chapter, I read down a little ways, and there it said, Paul said, I had something like, I admonish you to be followers of me. I thought that was interesting. Don't you? So, that's what I will say about those things. I hope you're getting the most out of everything, and I hope that you, it is my hope that you will keep your eyes on the Father. Do not be fearful. Be faithful. And be strong in His name. Did you like that when I did in the Fireside Chat, the one 61? It was Fireside Chat 61. When I talked about how everybody has a name but the Father in heaven. As according to the world, that is. I mean, every Negro has a name. Every dog has a name. Everyone has a name. Every God, even though they're not real gods, every God has names. The only one who doesn't have a name is the Father in heaven. He has a name, God and Lord. He doesn't have a name. And I thought that that was the most interesting thing. I don't know what you thought about that. See, but he does have a name. But they don't want you to know what that name is, and they don't want you to use that name. It's very obvious. We know who they are with three parentheses. We know who they are who took his name out of the scriptures about just a little over 6,800 times because they didn't want you to know his name. They said his name was too holy to be uttered. So, that was interesting. And then the last Fireside Chat, there were some real gems in it. The Father really gave me some nice gems in that one. So you may want to listen to those Fireside Chats because they are done on the fly. They're not planned out. I mean, I don't plan any of these out. What I've just spoken to, I haven't planned out. But when I'm reading a document, I guess that could be somewhat planned out. But I always comment on these documents, which really makes a difference. It's not just reading a document. Anybody can pull up an article and read an article or read a document to you, and that's just reading a document. That's not teaching you anything or speaking your own mind about these things. There's just a lot of very interesting things that come on the fly when the Father has free rein to say what he wishes, so to speak. I know preachers that write down every word and they leave no room for the Father to, or the Holy Spirit, I should say, same, to interject. And so, just think on that for a while. So let's get to, we're going to start on page 44 here on Be Wise as Serpents. And we had done the frame of reference. Where did you get your frame of reference from and all those kinds of things? We will eventually, we're not reading this whole book, as you know. So I skipped some pages here. And if you've got the book, it's page 44. It says Manly Palmer Hall, 33 degrees. He's, so you'll see what some of these Masons are saying. You'll see what Alice Bailey's saying and so on and so forth. So you'll understand. See, these things are all around you. The signs of Masonry are all around you all the time. These Masons are all around you all the time as you're in town, as you're in a business, and so on and so forth. But you don't know. These are antichrists. And you're surrounded by antichrists. And it's funny, when I would speak the truth in public, how many people would get upset? There were people that reported me for speaking the truth. So, it's interesting. That's all I can say, that we don't realize what's really going on around us and who is in our presence. I've been attacked because people knew who lived in me, and those who lived in them didn't like who lived in me. And this happens to many of the brethren. You may not understand the attacks that happen to you for no reason. These are attacks that somebody just vehemently dislikes you, and you've just met them for the first couple of minutes and haven't done anything. And I've seen this, and it's violent, it's spiritual, and it's spiritual warfare. You see, they can see who's in you, and they don't like that. And when you speak the truth, it's obvious who's in you, and they don't like that. Because they're afraid, and they hate the truth. They're looking for the light, as I said. But they're groping in the darkness. That's what the fireside chat was all about. All these people that are looking to be illuminated, I talked about this, the reason why they're begging for more light and looking for more light is because they're groping in the darkness. The devil knows this, but these people are unaware. These candidates of Freemasonry, these candidates of the Church Universal Triumphant, and on it goes. The Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons who practice Masonry, etc. They're all looking for light. They all want to be illuminated. Why? Because they're living in the darkness. Because you wouldn't be crying for the light if you knew Yahweh. See, you don't see me crying for light or looking for light, do you? No, because I know who the light is, and the light lives in me. And the word of the Father is the light. And one of the great things is, I remember in the scriptures, it says that the law is light. It's a lamp unto thy soul. So the reason why they're looking for light is because they're groping in the darkness and they don't even know it. They're naked and blind and don't even know it. Imagine, and they think that they are full of intellect, and they listen to the flattery of their organizations, and the way they look upon the public, they call us the profane. In other words, we're mere idiots because we don't have the intellect these people have. So they call us the profane. So we're on page 44, and here we go. Illustrious, get it? Manly Palmer Hall, often called Masonry's greatest philosopher, departed his earthly labors peacefully in his sleep on August 7, 1990 in Los Angeles, California. Although born in Peterborough, Ontario on March 18, 1901, Brother Hall moved to California in, listen what year it is, 1903. 1919, and devoted his life to lecturing, teaching, editing, and writing on all aspects of Freemasonry. The author of over 50 books and more than 65 smaller works, Illustrious Hall was also the founder and past president of the Philosophical Research Society of Los Angeles, California. He is best known for writing The Lost Keys of Freemasonry, 1923, The Dionysian Artificers, 1926, Masonic Orders of Fraternity, 1950, and of course his monumental encyclopedic outline of Masonic history, philosophy, and related subjects. A member of the Scottish Rite Bodies in the Valley of San Francisco, Brother Hall was made a Mason in San Francisco's Jewel Lodge number 374 and received the Scottish Rite's highest honor, the Grand Cross, in 1985 because of his exceptional contributions to Freemasonry, the Scottish Rite, and the public good. You see the dualistic life there? Like Grand Commander Albert Pike before him, Hall did not teach a new doctrine, but was an ambassador of the ageless tradition of wisdom that enriches us to this day. His piety, wisdom, warmth, and humility have touched the lives of millions in America and around the globe. The world is a far better place because of Manly Palmer Hall, and we are better persons for having known him and his work. An excerpt from an obituary by Walter Stewart, 32nd degree. Now, let me just make a comment about this. Isn't it interesting that Manly P. Hall, it says that he's touched the lives of millions. Maybe that's an exaggeration. I don't really know. He hasn't touched my life in any good way, so I don't know what... I'm not one of the millions or the ill. All I can say is if he did touch millions in America and around the globe, that shows you how many antichrists there really are. Isn't that interesting? America's Assignment with Destiny. This is page 109. It says the theory of freedom could be preserved by secret societies, but the practice of freedom required the cooperation of an enlightened people dedicated to a lofty ethical standard. Let me stop right there. Enlightened. Illumined. Enlightened. You see? The practice of freedom required the cooperation of an enlightened people dedicated to a lofty ethical standard. When evaluating, remember we're reading from his stuff here now, so don't try to take this too to heart. Try to read between the lines. When evaluating the esoteric groups of this period, the most reliable guide is their acceptance of the responsibility of the great plan. The Great Plan. The Great Plan is to illuminate the world. The Great Plan is to bring in the one world religion. The Great Plan is that Lucifer will be God. The Great Plan is to rebuild Solomon's temple in Israel, etc., etc. The Great Plan is many things, but they always talk about the Great Plan. So he continues, progress is not ordinarily for the advancement of the individual, but for the unfoldment of the universal project. The real esoteric schools still labor toward the goal of the world commonwealth. The plan remains utopian, and the disciple advancing through the grades of a legitimate initiate system is being prepared, not for personal emancipation, but as an instrument for the liberation of his fellow men. Are you listening? Whenever religious inducements are personal and selfish, or the devotee is encouraged to advance his own growth without consideration for others. So he's trying to say that, he's trying to show you that they're ethical in what they're doing. And this is for everybody. This is all is one and one, all for one and one for all. You see, it's utopian. It's global, universal. You see, this word liberation, liberating you from what? Well, from the laws of Yahweh, that's from what? This is the great plan. The great plan is to destroy the old order and bring in the new. Ordo ab chao, remember? Order out of chaos. See, this is a copy. I've explained this before, but I'm just explaining it again to you. When the Father, in the beginning of the scriptures, when the Father did what he did, he brought order out of chaos. This is where they get the idea from. So what they do is they corrupt, which creates chaos. And out of this chaos, they seek to bring a new order. This new order, of course, is Jewish world dominion. With a one world government, which is democracy, the financial control mechanism, which is the central bank, and the one world religion. See, if we could all just become brown people, then there'd be no reason to fight anymore because we'd be one race. That's a lie. And if we were all of the same religion, there'd be no more religious strife. But that's a lie because we see that people get split up all the time by little things and by demonic activity and by Jews and subverters. So if there was one religion, they'd still be breaking up into separate religions. And if there were one race, you can see clearly, I've explained this clearly, that if we all became the brown race, there would not be peace, any more peace than there is now. As a matter of fact, it would be even more violent. Because testimony of that is that down in South America are the most violent places of the world. And there were all the brown people down there mostly. You see, these promises of peace from the devil and his children, the Jews, are utopian, but they're a lie, a false promise, just like a false light or a corrupt tree cannot give you a good promise, right? A false light cannot shine upon you and illuminate you properly. All it can do is project its own light upon you. It's like the moon. The moon gets her light from the sun. She has no light of her own. And so if you are the candidate and you are the moon, let's say, and the sun is Lucifer, let's say, I'm just saying, because he is known as the sun god, and he's a false light, a distorted light, the best you can be is another false light and a distorted light. So it's a waste of time for you to be seeking light from an improper light source. You see what I'm saying? Rather, you should be seeking the light of truth and the light from the Father in heaven, who is the true light, the real light, the pure light, the right light. Isn't it amazing how the whole world is seeking enlightenment? And they're only going to get second, 10th best. Who knows what Lucifer really is? All I know is he's not the real light. He's a false light. He's a falsehood. He's a falsehood. A false light. A liar. A murderer. A promiser of false things. A tyrant, a wannabe god, a fallen angel, and he's locked into this realm because he came onto the material plane. He left his first estate because he was forced out of it, because he would not worship Adam as the angels were told to by Yahweh, because Adam was the son of God. He was the first offspring of Yahweh. The other races aren't the offspring of Yahweh. They're just created races. The devil said, I'm an older being than him. I will not. He should worship me, and I will not. And so he was cast down. You see, if you rebel against the Father in heaven and you don't obey him, because you see, the Father's will is done in heaven. If somebody's there that's not going to do his will in heaven, they're not going to be there very long. And so you see, now you know why the devil came onto this material plane. So when these Masons are talking about this great plane and how they're going to liberate people, this is the way they talk about us going into Iraq and killing millions of Iraqis, stealing their things out of the museums there, enslaving their people with a central bank government thing. And this is what they call liberating them. We've liberated them. Well, I have nothing to do with it. I don't have any business in Iraq. I don't have any business in trying to touch their government or anything like that. And neither does America. But the Jew feels it's his business, and he has usurped America's military, and has gotten us to liberate these people. And now look at them now. Are they happy with their democracy? Are they happy, the Iraqi people? No, they're not happy. As a matter of fact, they still haven't been able to establish a government yet. But they got a central bank. There's no problem with that. Somebody's stolen billions and billions and billions of dollars away from Iraq. See how nice it is to be liberated? How about Gaddafi? He had gold. He had great plans to water those deserts. The people that were living under his so-called kingdom were living very well. They were well taken care of. And now they've been liberated from that. Now they live like we do, like slaves. They've been liberated to become what is told to them to be free, but we're not free. And the Iraqi people are in an uproar again. There's people being killed and so on and so forth. Because the Jews are not going to let Iraq settle down and enjoy their country ever again. The Jews are going to steal their oil. They're going to steal their wealth. They're going to kill their people. And they're going to keep on creating dissent, which is happening right now in Iraq again, in case you don't know it. It's been many years since the Iraq war. They haven't reinstituted their currency. They haven't established a real government. I mean, they can't pass the laws in the government, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. See, we've really liberated them, haven't we? So that's the liberty that Freemasonry is talking about. So let's continue here. Well, really, let's take a break for a moment, since it's the 45-minute point, and then we'll continue with this when we return. This is my song, Yahweh's Holy Army.
Call it. them today. Calling, calling on Yahweh's holy army, and I'm calling, calling on them to pray. Standing, standing on Yahweh's holy mountain, and we're watchmen, watchmen on the wall today. Calling, calling on Yahweh's holy soldiers, and I'm calling, calling on them today. Get off the fence now. You've got to choose whether to win now, brother, or whether you want to lose. Make up your mind now and do it real, real soon. Study all the scriptures and begin to sing in tune. Calling, calling on Yahweh's holy soldiers, and I'm calling, calling on them today. Calling, calling on Yahweh's holy army, and I'm calling, calling for them to pray. Standing, standing on Yahweh's holy mountain, and we're watchmen, watchmen on the wall today. Calling, calling on Yahweh's holy soldiers, and I'm calling, calling on them today.
You know the time is right now. Right now, right away.
Yes, I know it.
Put on all your armor, soldier, and don't you be afraid.
Ooh, ooh, yeah.
You got the right now. Speak your mind today.
I pray, I pray.
Never give a place to evil, and don't you go astray. There's no time to play. We've got to get together and wash this evil away. Find all these devils and put them in their place. We are the Father's children, and we are His chosen race.
Even if you don't believe it, even if you don't believe it,
Yahweh's holy army.
Come on, 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 come
You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show, brought to you by DavidJamesBoston.com, your source for the truth. Before I go back to the article, I have a bit to say that might take a big chunk of this, but this is something people have asked me. People have asked me about the Freemasons at the beginning of this country and what I believe about them. Was George Washington Christian or any of these types of things? And I've had to do a lot of thinking about it, and I want to express to you some things that I believe. They always talk about the revolutions of the world. These Jews have all done these revolutions. I have coined a term just as we were on this break, and I've coined a new term, devolution. It's a made-up word by myself, but it's a term, devolution. And what it means is the devil and their children have caused all these monarchies to fall and have toppled governments of different kingdoms, and so on and so forth. So really, the revolutions were devolutions. And you know that it has always been that these Jews wanted to get rid of the monarchs. See, there was a monarch, I can't think of his name right now, but he made himself, when the Jews were making usury, he made himself a 50-50 partner with them. And they weren't, of course, they weren't willingly 50-50 partners, but that's the way he made it. And he also made himself heirs to their wealth, which is very wise. Now you may understand why they would wish to get rid of monarchies. So, America, according to these secret societies and so on and so forth, was an experiment. But I want you to notice something. They tried to call George Washington a king, and he wouldn't accept that. Because they are all Freemasons. The Father has plans for this continent, but the devil has plans for this continent as well. And when they, L'Enfant, made all these different Masonic things happen in Washington, D.C., and on certain ley lines and so on and so forth, you can see the evil plan was from the beginning in America. You can see that the Jews were involved in immediately in America. You can see the Jews were involved in the American Revolution and the War of 1812 and everything like that, and in the banking immediately in America, just like Iraq. It's nothing's changed. They wanted to get their central bank in. It was just called the Bank of the United States then instead of the central bank. So we see that Jews and Freemasons were also involved in the American devolution. And that's exactly what it was. See, they don't talk about that much. They always talk about how the Jews were involved in the Russian Bolshevik Revolution, devolution, right? Or the French devolution. Well, what took place? But they never talk about the American devolution in the same way. You see, in France, they took down the monarchy. In Russia, they took down the monarchy. In England, they married into the monarchy. And John Dee, as far as Fritz Springmeier is talking about, considered himself a member of the tribe of Dan. He was what it was known as the Renaissance man. And a Renaissance man, what that is somebody that can wear many hats. They have many talents. They're a very learned man in many operations in many different fields. John Dee created Enochian magic, which is what Rutherford was bringing into the Jehovah Witnesses. Enochian magic, he used the Tetragrammaton and the different letters of the Tetragrammaton, which is Yahweh's name, they made as separate elements. So Y was one element and so on and so forth. You get what I'm saying? I don't know a lot about Enochian magic, but you know who Enoch is? And if you look up John Dee, you'll find out that very involved in Freemasonry, very involved in the Kabbalah, very involved in Jewish things. And he claimed he was from the tribe of Dan, and he convinced the queen of his time that she should operate like that and try to take over as many kingdoms as she could. And he believed that she was derived from Arthur, King Arthur's bloodline, you know, King Arthur and the Round Table. And she also believed that they were from the tribe of Dan. So maybe you can see that while the scriptures say that there'll always be somebody that is in the line of David on the throne, I don't believe that the Queen of England is from the line of David. I believe that the Queen of England is from the tribe of Dan. As he said, this just makes sense to me. Whether I'm right or not, I don't know. I'm speculating. I know that America is an experiment. That America was to be different from Europe, and it would be greater, and it would be the tool to bring in the great plan. That's what I do know. Quetzalcoatl, you see, America is known as the land of Lucifer or the land of the plumed serpent, according to the devils. And let's look at it logically. The Pentagon is a pentagram with its stars folded in. And when they show the Pentagon, as I've told you many times in the past, if you fold the star's arms out from the Pentagon, it's an upside-down star, which represents Lucifer. You can see that our military is doing the work of the devil. You can see that, right? The work of the devil and his children. When you turn the star the other way up, it represents the Edomites. But so does the six-pointed star. But this five-pointed star is his children. It's on the tanks. It's on the flag of Russia. It's on the flag of communist China. It's everywhere. It's on the flag 50 times. Even if Obama thought it was 52. Stupid Negro. Falasha Jew. So, this to them is the land of evil. This to them is where the military aspect of the three frogs. See, I think that the three frogs are Washington, D.C., the Vatican, which is the religious aspect of this triune thing that comes out of the beast's mouth, and of course, the city of London within London, which is the monetary. America being the military aspect, these three frogs that come out of the mouth, you see, of the dragon. That's what I think it is. Am I positive that's what it is? Not really. But I'm pretty much sure. And because that's the beast system, this is Babylon. And so these three frogs, you know, you already had the Vatican through that was before the city of London within London. So that in the 1800s, that was established by the devil's offspring. Then the devil's offspring took over the Catholic Church, which is just a Babylonian abhorrence of the Father. He abhors that fake Christian religion. And that was slated to be the one world religion, but it's just not working out. And so the devil has his Freemasonry or whatever he has that he has certainly established all over the world. And then you have America. But you see, at the same time, the Father has plans for America. And so you can see that when I talk about numbers, the Father uses numbers, but also the devils use numbers. And they mean different things according to who is using them. See, they use everything that's the Father's. All numbers are the Father's in heaven. All this land is the Father's. But they used it and shaped it from the beginning of this country to be used for the world Jewish domination, of the Jewish domination of the world. You know, the monetary is very important, but without the military to take care of all the business of freeing and liberating everyone, we got problems. So as long as you have the military, you have to have the monetary to feed the military, because if you don't feed the military, they're not going to do the work. And so you see that immediately the lodges of France and the lodges of England came over here. Immediately. You got to realize that the Illuminati, which is just the Jews as a secret society within Freemasonry, was established on the very same year this country was established. You think that that's just pure happenstance? Because it's not. And so they've been operating in secret for a very long time. And so were the Masons in the beginning of this country Christian? Was Ben Franklin a Christian? I'd say no. Matter of fact, I would say that the name Franklin would be very Jewish. And Ben Franklin was involved in a lot of evil that they don't tell you about. I remember reading to you from Manly P. Hall's book back in the beginning of Saxon's Creed about this fellow that showed up when they were going to sign the Declaration of Independence. Nobody knew how he got up on the balcony. Nobody saw him come in or saw him leave or knew how he got up there. And he had encouraged them to sign the Declaration of Independence and made a great impression on them when they did it. Many of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were Freemasons. No, Freemasonry wasn't good then, and it's not good now, and it never was good as far as I'm concerned. It's the mystery religions. It's the Kabbalah. It always has been. Nimrod supposedly was the first Freemason, but of course, Freemasonry and the mystery religions came out of Egypt and probably somewhere before that. The serpent always being the representative of wisdom or illumination. So think on what I'm telling you. You see, America could have been a kingdom with a monarch, but it deliberately wasn't. And it was given to us that we would have freedom of religion, which would allow freedom for you to be a satanic freak. Many of the Unitarians that came here, if you look into the Unitarian Church, you'll find out it was very Jewish. It wasn't Christian at all. Almost all the Christian religions that have been established here, whether it's, you know, Joseph Smith had a talisman. The fellow that was after him was just as evil as well. So Mormonism, many of the initial Mormons, according to Fritz Springmeier, were Jewish. They claimed they were Jewish. And now we find out about all the things that one of the things you're going to find out in this series is that after Charles Taze Russell died, I'm just going to tell you this one thing. After Charles Taze Russell died, and you know the Jews loved Charles Taze Russell, you know that he was a Freemason, Rutherford was to come in. But there was a feller named Johnson that was involved in the organization, and he believed he was slated to be next. Remember that the Jehovah's Witnesses are run through the B'nai B'rith from an external source known as the B'nai B'rith Lodge of New York, which is exclusively Jewish. The Brothers of the Covenant, the B'nai B'rith. And they wanted their man in, and their man was Johnson, who is a Jew. Notice another Johnson name is Jewish. Just like Lyndon B. Johnson was a quadroon Jew. He was a very evil man. All you need is a little Jewish poison in your bloodstream, and you can be the most evil of men, like he was. Johnson is a Jewish name, or a name that they stole anyway. Usually it seems to me that every name that has son at the end or man at the end seems to be not the double N, but Johnson, Anderson, hello. I mean, it seems that those are Jewish names. Ralph Epperson, big, huge hook nose on Ralph Epperson, says he's not a Jew. But if you tell him it's the Jews, he goes absolutely out of his mind. Cooper's also a Jewish name, in case you don't know that. Now, there might be some people somewhere named Cooper that aren't Jewish. They've stolen our names. So, does this stuff make any sense to you? So, what happens is, Rutherford was able to muscle his way in and push these other men out, which angered the B'nai B'rith because they wanted a Jew in charge. But they patiently waited. And when Rutherford supposedly was an alcoholic and he fell down the stairs and died, who knows how he fell down the stairs, though, really, right? All of a sudden, the next fellow that came in was Frederick Franz, a Jew. And as Frederick Franz took over, he ran it for a long time, and he became an old man, and then they put an Iraqi Jew in charge of Frederick Franz. So anytime they wanted to know something from the headship of the Jehovah Witnesses, they would go speak to this Iraqi Jew, who would then go into Frederick Franz's bedroom or so and get the answer and bring it out. So you can see clearly that this is under Jewish control. Joseph Smith over in Mormonism, we'll be talking about that in the future because somebody asked me to do that, and I said, well, we'll do it when the time comes. I mean, I'm on a course, you know, that the Father has me on, and we'll go and do it what we do. I just do what I do. And when it can be gotten to, we'll get to it. So, interestingly enough, you know, the next feller in line is another Jewish name. And so, most of these religions, Elizabeth Clare Prophet is another one that's talked about. It's the Church Universal Triumphant. And then you had Madame Blavatsky, who was a Jewess. She was the head of Theosophy. It seems to me, from what I see here, that the devil uses women many times for his religions. He'll use men, too. But if you look at Alice Bailey and her husband, Foster Bailey, from the Lucius Trust, she took over for Blavatsky and Besant. And then you have Elizabeth Clare Prophet, etc., etc. So it's interesting that those religions were started by women. And theosophy is called co-masonry, in case you don't know that. So masonry is evil. And the answer of what I would say to you is, yes, masonry has always been evil, will always be evil, and is being used. It's the devil's church. It's where he can be God. He is the light. The north side of the lodge where Yahweh resides in the north is kept dark in the lodge. And the lodge master is, the lodge fellow there is called the worshipful master. This is against the father. He says, don't call anybody master, right? Don't call anybody rabbi or master, or don't call anybody father. You see what I'm saying? And so, unfortunately, though I'd like George Washington and all these people to be good people, those people did tell a lot of truth. But when it comes down to it, they helped bring this evil in. They were the progenitors of this country, the forefathers, they're called. And when L'Enfant designed Washington, D.C., and designed all these things into the streets and so on and so forth, and temples and all kinds of weird things, putting Persephone, the goddess, on the top of the building, the Capitol building. This is evil. It was like they took and rebuilt Rome again. Like Rome, like America is almost like Rome rebuilt, Rome reconstructed, Rome resurrected. Because the buildings are very Roman. The White House is a very Roman-looking building. And here we are with senators again, just like Rome. With the absolute debauchery inherited from Rome. Isn't it funny that the name Rome, when you roam, you're not on the stone. You're a rolling stone, like I was talking about. You're roaming. You're not steady on the rock of salvation. You're not firm in your belief with the Father and so on and so forth. You're Roman, roaming. And so you could almost look at this from the devil's aspect as the new Rome. Like as if the beast received its shot in the head, so to speak, but now it's the eighth beast, perhaps. Because this is Babylonian. This is very Babylonian. It's one of the frogs coming out of the dragon's mouth, as far as I'm concerned. It's very interesting to me that people don't understand. When you look at the Daily Stormer and this so-called alternative right movement, they have taken on this idea that they are Pepe the Frog. Do you not find that interesting? You know that frogs are evil, right? Frogs are part of the pestilence in Egypt, right? What an interesting thing that these people would take on the character of a frog to be the alternate right, you know, alternative or the alt-right movements. Did you know that when you have, what do they call those? When you have on the football team or the baseball team, you have this little character that runs around. I forget the name of the thing, but it's really known as a talisman to bring luck. Well, a frog is not good luck. A frog is a slimy thing. And a frog comes out of the mouth of the dragon. Isn't it interesting? why they would pick such a thing. As a matter of fact, on Daily Stormer right now, they have a soldier dressed in armor, and he's holding what looks to be like a frog, or it looks to be like from Star Wars, you know,
is this not right?
Yoda, this type of thing. See, Yoda's a demon. You might think it's a cute little thing from Sesame Street or whatever it is there. It's a demon with pointy ears. And it has knowledge, and it gives knowledge of the Force to mankind. And he's got a sort of a Yoda-type being holding hands with the soldier. And it says, the Daily Stormer, and catch this, this is the way, it says. This is the way. Well, I thought the way was the way, the truth, and the life, the Word of God. But no, the Daily Stormer has its own way. And that way is to learn from holding hands and learning from this Yoda-type creature.
Is this not you?
You know what I'm talking about? And the way Yoda speaks is backwards, right, compared to us. He speaks in a weird fashion. And that's supposed to be intriguing, or that's supposed to be like he's more intelligent. He really knows how to speak language. But that's really not intelligent. It's just a technique. It's something you're not used to. So you might look as, oh, that's different. That's wonderful. Well, that's the devil. That's a devil. Yoda is a devil. Adoy, backwards, which is almost like Adonai, like Yoda. If you take his name backwards, it's Adoy, which is very kind of close to Adonai in a way, isn't it? See, they teach you to look at things backwards in these all these things. You see what I mean? This is Crowleyism. Crowley said that you should speak backwards, that you should play records backwards, that you should walk backwards, that you should live backwards. In other words, you're going against the grain. And to go against the grain, see, the Father, he has the grain of the universe going his way. And what they're doing is trying to go against the grain, to reverse the grain, to push the grain backwards. You see? And that's the way the world is living. Isn't it upside down? Isn't it inside out? Isn't it living in reverse? Isn't it devolution? And I'm not saying devolution, I'm saying devolution instead of revolution. That's quite the coined term, wouldn't you say? You heard it here first. Praise be to the Father in heaven. All glory to the Father in heaven. May he be glorified in all of our works. May he be shown to be correct in everything, which he always is. So let's just continue a little bit here. The reader is encouraged to study mystical systems. Isn't that interesting? We're encouraged to study mystical systems? Or to affiliate with organizations claiming extraordinary knowledge in the hope that he will acquire the skill to advance his own condition, where such objectives are used to intrigue the gullible. Those of sincere mind and heart are entitled to reservations. The old secret society, this is mainly P. Hall speaking again, as you well know. The old secret societies remain as they had always been. You see what I'm trying to say to you? So Freemasonry is now what it has always been. Manly P. Hall told you this. The old secret societies remain as they had always been, custodians of an overconviction. They are now emphasizing the right use of privileges. Education can be conferred by schools and universities. Listen carefully. But enlightenment must still result from internal growth. Without the proper development of his superphysical resources, the individual cannot protect his physical rights and privileges. Progress of society always demands that the human being as a person be in advance of the institutions which he creates. In other words, he must create a power base over the institutions he creates, so that you have to come to him over and over and over again to receive these grades and degrees to move forth. You see, even the college system itself, ladies and gentlemen, is a Gnostic religion. You notice that you first get an associate's degree. Then the next degree is the bachelor's degree. And then you get the master's degree. And then you might become a doctorate on top of that. I don't really know exactly all the degrees of the college system, but it's another Gnostic religion, in case you don't know that. I'm just letting you know that. The Saturnalian robe that you wear during graduation proves what order you're getting your degree from. Saturnalia, Satan. The star, six-pointed star of the Jewish flag, or which is not anything to do with the Star of David. It's to do with evil, and it's to do with demons, bringing demons up to try to take control of them, when in reality they control you. It's the hexagram, which is actually on Saturn. And it represents Saturn. And this is what Solomon used to try to control demons. He had a ring, a signet ring with this on it. So the idea is that these Gnostic religions, what it means is you're going up grades. You learn so much, you get a degree, or you're an initiate, all right? They even initiate these college students into their different fraternities, brotherhoods. You see, college is just another of the devil's institutions. I wonder if that's blowing your mind, because I hadn't planned on even talking about that. But that's exactly what it is. Notice how he called them human beings, too. A human being is a colored being. But the white man is absence of color. He's man. He's not human. He's man. Interesting, isn't it? Think along these lines and you'll really understand many things when you come to realize that the college system is just another Gnostic religion. And you're just another brick in the wall. See, I had put up something on my site about that. See, in masonry, when you have the pyramid, each mason is a brick built in the building of that pyramid. And the cornerstone, of course, instead of Jesus Christ, is, of course, the eye of Lucifer. You know, the singular eye, like the camera is. Notice how the singular eye of the camera translates into the singular eye of the television. These things are so simple, they're right in front of us. The singular eye, where you see these Hollywood people and these musicians and all these things, these so-called stars, that have sold their souls to be these people. They always show themselves with one eye. Remember, I showed you that if you go and you look at my article on Death Wish, you'll see how the shadow, which is the spiritual king, he's as tall as a building, the spiritual king of the world, which is Lucifer, is between these, the brown man and brown woman, and he's blocking off, his shadow is blocking off one of their eyes. Did you also notice that many of these people have had their eyes bloodied? Like the popes and everybody else, did you notice that? It's only one eye that it happens to. It's some kind of ritual. Maybe they put a serpent in the eye of these people. That's exactly what they talk about doing. They say it's aliens that are doing it, but I don't believe in aliens. I believe that those are demons. And they're aliens to this planet. Yes, there's no doubt about that the demons are aliens because they came from the kingdom of heaven and have left their first estate. So they are aliens. Make no mistake of that. But not aliens like you're thinking about, like the George Norrie nonsense and all this crap that goes on. See, I never entertained the alien movement. That is something else that Bill Cooper was involved in. They all tried to set out to bring the alien movement together with the truth movement, which, if you believe in the alien movement, you're a nutcase, of course. So, if you believe in the aliens and that's part of the truth movement, obviously, if you believe in the truth, you're a nut too. You see, that's the technique there. That's why I won't allow it to be in my sphere. I don't teach about aliens or anything. Aliens would be angels that fell from heaven. There is one thing I know, though. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.